It's time to find balance and be refreshed here on Every Heart, Every Woman.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Get ready for uplifting music and inspiring interviews.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Let's get motivated to move forward as we share our life experiences. Host, Harla Nivens.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Before we jump into our interview, we're going to set the tone with a little bit of live music. Here is a song from True Worship, which is my first CD. The song is entitled Free. Sit back and enjoy. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. And I have my good friend Vicki McMurray co-hosting with me today. Thank you so much for being here, Vicki.
Carla, thanks for having me. I'm fired up about today's show.
I know. We have another good one. Seems like every week we say that.
We
because
do.
Because every week we have
it's pretty awesome.
A great conversation. Mm-hmm. Every Heart, Every Woman radio show is a program of Love Ministries. And Love Ministries is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can find more information about Love Ministries on their website, loveministriesbuilds.org. And today we are welcoming not one, but two guests.
Yes.
From the Magdalen House, we have Lisa Kroenke. She is the executive director. And we also have Lauren McElroy, and she is the communications manager. Thank you all for being here with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us.
We're thrilled to be here. So
awesome. We're excited to get into our conversation.
I know. The conversation while we were setting up hasn't stopped. So I think we'll be okay for
yes.
the show.
Yes.
So Lisa, let's jump in with you. We would love to know more about Magdalen House and how it began and just what it is in your life.
Thank you, Carla, so much. I wanted to tell you that actually Magdalen House is a 501c3 too. We are
okay.
a nonprofit organization. We started in 1987 by four women who were they were alcoholics themselves. They saw a need for a safe place for women that they could detox from alcohol. At that time, there was no place for women to go. There was a lot of places for men, but there was no safe place for women could go and be surrounded by like women in a safe environment. There was a lot of other entities like Alcoholics Anonymous and some other things like that, but not a safe place for women only. So this little tiny house was given to them by a friend of theirs on Lover's Lane that had six beds in the house. And in the first year, they served over 125 women.
Wow.
I know. So there was a huge need. And it's a two-week program. So if you do the math, they were full virtually from day one.
Mm-hmm.
So we were very fortunate that in 1996, we had a very nice friend give us, or actually bequeath to the board of directors, this larger house over
Wonderful.
In East Dallas.
Oh, okay.
In Little Forest Hills. So
oh,
now
yes.
that's where we are today. We moved there in 1996.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been there for over 22 years.
Yeah.
We serve 14 women in our detox program for a two-week period. So
mm-hmm.
about 28 women a month.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, we had 230 women that we served in our detox program,
mm-hmm.
which it's a non-medical, it's a social detox program, which is peer implemented, meaning that volunteers will come in and work one-on-one with these women once they get to the house.
Okay, that was actually a question I had because
mm-hmm.
you have on your website a social detox, and I didn't
mm-hmm.
understand what that meant. So
what that means is it's a non-medical. It's
okay.
We take the women through a very strenuous intake process to make sure that they're appropriate for our services.
Mm-hmm.
If they need a higher level of care, they will go
right.
to the hospital. Alcohol detox is the only detox that you can actually die from. So we need to make sure that these women are appropriate for our level of services
mm-hmm.
because we're run by volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
So if a woman needs help from detox, and it usually takes about 3 days to get the alcohol out of her system, then we can take her into our house and then she can stay for 14 days and she gets immersed
mm-hmm.
into a spiritual program of action. And so that's really our difference is that we're run by volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
These women don't need a higher level of care
mm-hmm.
and they're desperate to stop drinking
mm-hmm.
and to overcome alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
So the one thing I wanted to tell you about the house is that really a lot of people focus on this detox program, which is really important for our community. And we'll talk about costs and some other things in a minute. But the most wonderful thing I believe about our house, this is how I actually got to the Magdalen House, is our second program.
Mm-hmm.
And that's called our peer recovery program.
Okay.
And what that looks like is that there's a lot. I mean, there's over 108,000 women in Dallas County that suffer from alcoholism.
Wow.
It's an amazing number.
Yeah.
And it's growing every year. Of course, you know, our community is growing so
mm-hmm.
quickly with all the infrastructure that's being built out. But there's no place for women to really go to be surrounded by other women.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw a need for that. We were so focused on our detox, we thought, you know what, this is the program where we can really grow. So we have over 52 classes and workshops and meetings every 2 week period. Mm. Last year, we had almost 10,000 visits to our home, our agency,
wow,
where women in the community can come and visit, be surrounded by like-minded mm-hmm women, get help or fellowship with other women, or they can actually come and help another woman who's in our social detox program. And that's how I got to the house. I did actually go through the program, mm-hmm, the detox program, mm-hmm, but when I got sober, I actually got sober in June of 2007.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing my sponsor, the woman I was working with, told me is that you need to go to this place called the Magdalene House,
mm-hmm,
and make yourself be of service. Help these other women. Exactly. Help these other women get what you've got.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way that you're going to sustain long-term sobriety. My whole purpose once I got sober, once I got into recovery, was to bear witness to God's glory.
Mm.
That was this whole thing about getting sober was not so that I could get sober.
Right.
It was so that I could pass it on.
Right.
I believe that's why God made me an alcoholic. It wasn't so that I could suffer. It was so that I could shine light on the pain and use the pain for a purpose to help another woman.
Mm.
So this whole journey is really about helping other women get to God.
Mm-hmm.
It's about bearing witness and creating discipleship, disciples.
Right.
We call it something different at the house, but really that's what it is. We're creating disciples through this process of getting sober, finding God, and getting our faith. And the only way that my faith is going to grow is to help another woman find
right
her faith.
Right.
And that's exactly what we do at the house.
And it's going to help you stay sober.
Absolutely. That's a byproduct.
Right.
So that's not the purpose. That's not
right
the reason I
right
do it. I do it to
right
get closer to God,
mm-hmm,
and to form and create a relationship and
mm-hmm
help someone else create a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I do that,
mm-hmm,
God keeps me sober in the background.
Yes.
Yeah.
God keeps me sober. Right? This
yeah
is something I cannot do on my
right
own.
Right. Right.
And I found God in the process. Now, and I always had faith, always believed,
mm-hmm,
but I never had actionable tools that I could use to get closer to God. And that's what we teach at the house. We the women get sober, absolutely, but what they start, we start them on a process of getting closer and having a relationship with their Creator. And that's something that differentiates us from other places where women go and get sober.
Right.
We actually show them how to grow in a relationship with God. We give them the tools. And this is a comprehensive program that they can do for the rest of their lives. I mean,
right,
I bet there hasn't been one day that I haven't been at the house since I got sober, unless I was on vacation or sick or something,
mm-hmm,
because you want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and we say it, there's no other place where you can go that you actually see a physical transformation. And it's spiritual in nature,
mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm
it looks physical in a two-week period.
Mm-hmm.
To be a part of that,
mm-hmm,
there's no glass of wine that ever gave me that high to be
right
a part of someone's spiritual transformation.
Right, right,
right. And Lauren, you're over here nodding. Did you want
yeah
to add anything? I don't
yeah
want you to feel like you can't jump in there.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I first met Lisa actually when I was in the house. So
mm-hmm
I was a client. And one thing I wanted to touch on that to me is so neat about the Magdalene House is that it's free for the women that we serve.
Mm-hmm.
And I was one of those who grew up with some resources, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it took me a while to get well and to really want to recover.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't something that I have dreamt of. It was
right,
being
right,
sober.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so it was very helpful for my family and for me to be able to go to a place that was no cost.
Mm-hmm.
And it was there that I met not only Lisa, but many other women in
mm-hmm
recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first place that I saw women be not only sober, but happy too.
Yes.
And then I'll even tag on to the happiness. They were helpful, you know
mm-hmm
what I mean? And they wanted to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost like it was contagious. And I knew from the moment that I met Lisa, although it scared me a little bit, that I wanted what she had. And I could see, we talk about this starry-eyed look,
mm-hmm,
and I kind of call it the God light, you
mm-hmm
know? You see kind of God through their eyes,
mm-hmm,
and you want that. And you're so, at least for me, I was so broken and ashamed and embarrassed. And
mm-hmm
and I thought that this this was just the worst thing that had ever happened to me. And Lisa and the many women that I met at the Magdalene House were living examples of the fact that this is just a disease that I have, mm-hmm. and that I get to use my deepest, darkest secrets and worst experiences in mm-hmm. life and with alcoholism mm-hmm. to go out in this world and help other women. And to be a family member that I could never be before,
right.
To be the friend that I was never able to be before. And, you know, I got not really. I got addicted to Maggie's. I loved being mm-hmm. there. We call it Maggie's for short. Mm-hmm. I, you know, being able to be helpful all mm-hmm. of the sudden when my life used to just be all about me was really, really
right.
unique and neat. I had this unique purpose again. And I just, you know, like I said, I never left the house. They mm-hmm. told me that when I was there. Don't leave the house, you mm-hmm. know. And when I first got sober, and I've been sober a little bit over 3 years
and
now.
I'm just going to say, yeah. people don't know what you look like. And so I know Lisa knew before this. She's a mom of four sweet boys, uh-huh. but you're a bit younger than all of us here. So I can't even imagine walking through this being younger because I, you know, I was social when I was younger and before I was married. And so I wonder what that would be like because you're really setting yourself apart probably from many of your friends. So
it is. You know what? It's a different journey for sure. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you what's great is that I get to walk shoulder to shoulder with not only women my age,
yep.
but women of all ages.
Yes.
And the neatest thing about the Magdalene House to me in this journey is that I get to be with women that might not look like me, that
right.
might not come from the same background as me, might not have the education or maybe more education or whatever. The disease of alcoholism doesn't discriminate,
nope.
but we have this one thing in common, mm-hmm. and that's the solution. And the solution is found in God.
Mm-hmm.
Just teaser.
Yes.
That's the good news,
that
right?
That is the good news.
It's just I needed help, and we call them spiritual tools. I needed those spiritual tools to get connected to God because I was like Lisa, too. You know, I grew up going to church.
Mm-hmm.
I led Bible studies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was chaplain in my sorority. And so to be an alcoholic was so uncharacteristic.
Sure.
But
mm-hmm.
it's actually not about my character.
Right. Right.
Like I said earlier,
right.
it's that I have this illness. So,
yeah.
I could not be more thankful for the Magdalene House. And like I said, you know, it's a joy to work there now. I was a volunteer there before I started working there. And, you know, to be smiling on the way to work and on the way home from work and,
yeah.
and seeing the sunset over White Rock Lake.
Yes.
I know that I didn't do it.
Yes.
You know,
right.
God
yes.
did it.
Yeah.
So it's just,
yeah.
it's really cool
yeah.
stuff.
That is wonderful. You know, as I'm listening to you all talk, I'm thinking, you know, this is like the word of God.
Yes.
It
just
is.
Being lived in real life. And
out
scripture
loud.
Says that other people overcome mm-hmm. by the word of your testimony.
Yes.
So really this is just this is what we are supposed to do. This is
yes.
like exactly how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to, you know, learn from the Lord and become free and become
mm-hmm.
whole. And then all we're supposed to do is just go around and tell other people
mm-hmm.
so that they will get the same strength to be able to do the same thing.
This is so countercultural.
You know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Big time.
It is. That's one of the reasons I love the Magdalene House so much is because we live transparently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's authenticity. That word is so prevalent through the house. There's no shame. And there's shame when you walk in.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that I learned is the more I share my story, the more transparent, the more authentic I am,
mm-hmm.
God removes the shame.
Yes.
Because
Amen.
I have used that shame to
mm-hmm.
help another woman. That
mm-hmm.
shame now has a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not for my own sobriety.
Right.
It's not for my own recovery. It was simply given to me so that I can share that with another woman. And the more pain that I go through,
right.
guess what? The more women I get to help.
Yeah.
The more women I can identify with.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I'm just some blonde chick telling them, you know, how they can
mm-hmm.
get sober.
Mm-hmm.
But because I actually have a story, I've been
right.
there too. I've done that too. And I overcame.
Mm-hmm.
And look what I did.
And
they
God
want what
walked
I have.
You through that.
They want what I have.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can introduce them to the spiritual solution.
Mm-hmm.
But the more pain that you go through, that's just more women you can help. More
mm-hmm.
women you can identify with.
Mm-hmm.
It
hard
becomes
in the
a
moment.
Blessing.
It's a hard in the moment
it
to,
is.
To say, okay,
it
Lord,
is.
How am I going to help somebody when I am so broken right now? But it is so powerful, and it's so hard sometimes to see around the corner
mm-hmm.
what he's
and,
got. lined up for you.
Yeah. And that's why, like I keep touching on this, that women like Lisa, who had been sober a little bit longer than me, are so instrumental in this process. Because my family and I, we were so broken and mm-hmm. so confused and really uneducated. Mm-hmm. So we needed someone. And, you know, it was funny. I was meeting with a woman that I sponsor with a couple days ago. And she said, you know, I'm starting to see God a little bit, and I want to have faith in God. She was like, but I'll tell you what I have faith in right now. It's you. And I said, okay, that's great. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put your hand in God's. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you need that person that you can trust in the mm-hmm. beginning that you mm-hmm. know is not there for financial gain.
Right.
Lisa's not there because she's bored. She's so busy. You know, it's because she really wants to help because she mm-hmm. had been saved by this power greater than herself. You know, mm-hmm. like we said, I call him God. So mm-hmm. Anyway, it's a neat process to be a part of, especially when you're starting to help mm-hmm. the other women. And, you know, to talk about what Carla was saying, you know, everybody's supposed to do this. You know, my
Absolutely.
Family, my non-alcoholic family members wish on some days, I think, that they could be more like me, that they were almost in a position where they were forced to be disciples of God in all of their affairs, because mm-hmm. I have to live that way mm-hmm. because I will, you know, drink again if I don't stay connected mm-hmm. to God and mm-hmm. keep doing the spiritual practices that I know work. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a neat community and thing for everybody to be a part of, including the non-alcoholic family members.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say that. We have a really strong family program, too.
You do. So I was actually going right. to ask about that. So I am an adult child of an alcoholic, mm-hmm. and I've actually okay. done the 12 steps
mm-hmm.
a long
Yay.
Time ago, a long time ago. Mm-hmm. So I know from being on the flip side of it what it's like to be around an alcoholic. And
yes.
I had a grandparent that was an alcoholic also, and he called himself a dry drunk.
Yes. Uh-huh. Very familiar with that.
Yeah, so he wouldn't do the 12-step program, but he wasn't drinking very much anymore. But he still had a lot of the behavior that wasn't necessarily beneficial for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
But I know from the other side of it just how hard it is to walk alongside somebody who is drinking too much. And how do you, you know, you almost feel like you're the bad person in the situation. They sort of have a way to flip it
yes.
on you. I'm just curious about the family support that you have, because that wasn't really – I did the 12-step program when I was in my 20s, and I'm in my 50s now. So it was a very long time ago, and it was through somebody else I knew getting sober that said, hey, they have a 12-step program for adult children. So can you – is the 12-step program part of
– Absolutely.
Okay.
So the 12-step program is not for alcoholics. If you look at the 12th step, it said having had a spiritual awakening.
Yes.
That's the purpose of getting
right.
through the work, is having
okay.
a spiritual awakening and then taking that spiritual awakening and using it to help another person. So, yes. I mean, actually, I take women through the steps, not frequently, but I do take women through the steps who are not alcoholic,
mm-hmm.
who are having a spiritual malady. There's something mm-hmm. in their life. So, what you're talking about specifically is Al-Anon.
Mm-hmm.
And so the purpose is to get them closer to God, have
mm-hmm.
a relationship, having
mm-hmm.
a spiritual waking. I was spiritually dead. Doesn't matter what your problem is.
Right.
But the solution's the same. And that is to have them awakened
mm-hmm.
and then grow in that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole purpose of the 12-step program.
Right.
It was never to stop drinking.
Right.
It was always to have a spiritual
Alcoholics
awakening.
Alcoholics Anonymous latched onto it. But anybody, I mean,
anybody
if you,
can.
I, in fact, after I did it, and I still feel this way, I would encourage anybody to work the 12 steps.
Absolutely.
It's eye-opening. It's awakening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's purposeful. I mean, it really helps
it
you
is.
Get connected.
Mm-hmm.
And look at your own behavior. Sorry
exactly.
to interrupt.
No, no, right. no. Because they're spiritual tools. It's
right.
not theory. There's
right.
literally tangible, if I do this, this is what I do next. And
mm-hmm.
it's in black and white. We
mm-hmm.
have a textbook called The Big Book that we take women through it. We have a curriculum. We have what they do every day. Step one, step two. It's very clearly outlined. There's no guessing game.
Right.
This is what happens. This is what you do now. It is a clear roadmap. We call it Spirituality for Dummies. Or Spirituality 101, because literally
well,
it's laid out.
It is.
That's how it's laid
Nothing
out.
Nothing wrong with that.
No,
I sure
it's
it.
Not. And I mean, we have people in our church who've asked us to go, and because it's a dumbed down version of
mm-hmm.
if this is where I'm in pain, now what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
And it takes you through all the way through looking at your inventory
mm-hmm.
to going and making amends, then how are you going to use that out there in the world to help another person get closer to God? And then that's how you grow. It's not about praying is definitely a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Meditation is
mm-hmm.
definitely a part of mm-hmm. it. But me just praying and me just attending church is not going to be enough to grow my
mm-hmm.
spiritual journey.
Right.
I've got to reach out and give that back to another person and help them find God.
Right.
I can grow, definitely grow with the tools in church and definitely grow in the tools with my Creator by talking mm-hmm. in prayer. Mm-hmm. But I've got to go out. And I, as a Christian, that's what we're told to do.
Right. Right.
Once we have been saved, that's our job, is to for discipleship and bearing witness to His glory
right.
by helping other people.
Right.
Yeah. That's what it's all about.
I know we need to take a break. So
okay.
I'm going to save my next question for when we come
right.
when we come right back. So
sounds
let's
great.
Take a break and we'll be right back.
Every Heart, Every Woman, the show where women find balance, peace, and inspiration. Now let's get back to the show with your host, Carla Nivens.
Well, welcome back to the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host, and I have my good friend Vicki McMurray here co-hosting with me today. Thank you so much for being here, Vicki.
Thank you, Carla.
And Vicki and I are in a great nonstop conversation
mm-hmm.
with Lisa Kroenke, and Lisa is the executive director of Magdalene House, and Lisa McElroy and Lauren McElroy. Sorry, Lauren.
Yes.
Lauren McElroy is the communications manager of Magdalene House. And before we left, we said we're kind of off script. So
we
because
are off
this
script,
is a
this is
a
good.
Great conversation.
Yes.
So before we left, we talked about the 12 steps.
Mm-hmm.
And Lisa, you said the 12 steps aren't necessarily for people who are alcoholics. It's for everybody?
It's for anyone. As a matter of fact, the 12 steps have been leveraged, I say, for over 220 different fellowships.
Wow.
There's everything from Chapsticks Anonymous to overeaters and serious death from Drug Addicts
mm-hmm.
Anonymous to
yeah.
there's all kinds of we call them spiritual maladies
mm-hmm.
that you can overcome by these 12 steps. Because like we said, this is not about alcohol. I almost
mm-hmm.
wish alcohol weren't in the word alcoholism, because
mm-hmm.
it's really about having a spiritual awakening.
Mm-hmm.
And once you've had the spiritual awakening, you want to give it away.
Yes.
It's mm-hmm. not like it's not so much that I have to do this. I want to do it. God's
mm-hmm.
put it on my heart. I feel compelled to give it away. And the more I give it away, the more excited I get,
mm-hmm.
the more joy and peace I have in my own life. And so my family is even like, oh, don't you need to go help somebody today?
Yeah.
You know, so it is a family, so it's a family solution. And the one thing, too, that I would love to hit on is when I got sober, my family was not devoid of faith, but my family was devoid. They believed, but we didn't know as a family how to continue that walk with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
When I got sober and I started walking this walk, my children got closer
mm-hmm.
in their own faith.
Mm-hmm.
They saw that change happen in me,
mm-hmm.
and they wanted what I had.
Mm-hmm.
What a great byproduct.
It was an incredible byproduct. And so it's not just about the women that we work with and when they see that change. The whole family sees the change.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. We started going to church more as a family.
Mm-hmm.
We started praying more
mm-hmm.
as a family. It has changed our whole family dynamic and spiritual and prayer life. So yes, back up to the 12 steps. It is not just about my own recovery.
Mm-hmm.
It has helped my whole family.
Yes.
And I've told Lauren and other women that I work with, I said, you wait, you will become the rock of your family.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's something about the steps and the spiritual awakening is so powerful that people will want what you have.
Yes.
And I know that's that's happened in Lauren's family, just to watch the transformation of Lauren and the hundreds of women that come through our house every year. It's an amazing thing to watch, because it's not just about them and their recovery, to watch their families grow and come back.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually come back to the house and give their kids volunteer there.
Mm.
You know, I was leaving work the other day, and I heard this little girl run through the living room going, "Mommy, Mommy, Mommy." And she just jumped into her mom's arms.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we offer, when I went away, when I was trying to get sober so many times, I didn't have a place locally where I could go where my mm-hmm. children could visit me.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in a place where the children can come and visit their moms every single day.
That's great.
It really helps the women get to a place where they're at peace sooner.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's hard. Women have a unique set of circumstances. The average age for our woman in our house is 42 with 1.5 children.
Mm-hmm.
They have children.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a unique set of circumstances where women do not want to leave their children to go and get sober and ask for help.
Right.
So if we offer this in a local community where women can and their children can come visit them,
mm-hmm.
they're going to ask for help. They're going to be more open-minded to go and ask for help. The other thing, too, that's really incredible about the house is that it's no cost. It's absolutely no cost to any of the women coming for any of our services
amazing.
Or programs.
Like, is no cost?
No cost.
So, $0.
And we get no state or federal funding at all. We are all privately funded, which has several meanings in that the women who come, they don't pay anything to come. But also, think about the women that we are saving that don't go to Parkland. They don't go through state-subsidized programs.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all actually not just not pulling money from the state, but we're actually saving the taxpayers and the state and the county as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're putting those women through a program where they don't have to go out and seek help elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So the no-cost thing is really important. And it's not – we have women from Oak Cliff. We have women from Highland Park.
Mm-hmm.
Alcoholism is a great equalizer.
It
sure
but
is.
What happens is you get out of resources. Insurance doesn't pay for 10 times going through rehab.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the data shows that it takes 4 to 5 times for a woman to go through some kind of program for actually it to take.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time the woman's really ready to get sober or get walking down the spiritual path, they're completely out of resources.
Mm.
And their family is done. So that's where we can come in and sweep them up
mm-hmm.
and give them this help, and they can get integrated back into their families and back into the community and giving back. They become active in their churches again. They become spiritual
or maybe go to church.
Entities. Or go to church. And I tell you what, there's a lot of women who come through our program who I never talk about it, but they'll go, "Now, what church do you go to?"
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's incredible discipleship that we get to do this. It's a dream job. It's absolutely a dream job.
That is, you're blowing me away.
Here. I know. I know.
You're literally blowing me away. So, Lauren, can you talk a little bit about volunteerism and just you know how people can get involved and how people can help and what's been your experience in that?
Yes, absolutely. I would love to. One thing you know that I think makes, you know, the Magdalene House so neat. And of course, I've listed a lot of things. If y'all can't tell,
yeah.
I love the Magdalene House.
Yeah.
I live and breathe it because the place truly, well, God really saved my life. But I owe so much of my life, the fact that I'm here and actually alive. That was a true, I haven't touched on that yet, but that was a true fear for my family. I mean, that I was going to die. I mean, they wrote my eulogy and they were serious about it. It was, you know, this is, we get to laugh now. And there's so much joy in my life now, but, for a long time it wasn't. But what's neat about the program and, about these spiritual steps is that it teaches us how that we can be free no matter what's going on in our life. And one of those ways to get free is by helping others.
Right.
And this goes for both the family members and the actual alcoholics, because we see both cases. There are instances, and I can think of a particular volunteer right now whose daughter is really not well. She cannot get sober. She's been in and out of jails and rehabs, and she's really, really, really sick. But guess what? Her mom comes up to the house on, you know, a couple times a week and helps other family members and brings hope that there actually is a solution. And this gets her out of her head and out of her own self-pity. And she starts talking about God and the amazing things that God can do in her life. And then she receives hope because women like me, girls that are her daughter's age, because I'm her daughter's age, are up there and we're not only sober, like I touched on earlier, we're happy about it, you know, and we're healthy again, and we're productive members of society, and we're active in our church and volunteering up there all together. So we get to share and in this joy of that there is a solution, you know what I mean? There's so many diseases out there today that there is not a solution, that, you know, there's no cure medicine-wise for, for alcoholism that I've found yet, but we have this spiritual solution.
Yes.
And so that's where volunteering has become such a crucial, pivotal point in my life and in my journey of recovery, is that I get to, no matter what's going in my life, good day or bad day, get out of my head and go be helpful. Because, you know, one thing we learn at the Magdalene House and in the 12-step program is that we really have been relying a ton on self, and we've been in a lot of self, and a lot of the actions we take are motivated by self. So we've got to get out of that. And the opposite of that is service. How can I constant thought of others, and how can I help meet their needs? And I have to tell y'all, this was earth-shattering for me in the beginning. You know, I remember the days when I couldn't find a job, and I was new in sobriety, and you know, it was weird to be alone, and I'm building my relationships back, and all of that. And I would call my sponsor and I would say, I'm so sad, you know, I'm bored, I'm lonely, and I can't find a job, and I need money, and all these things. And she would say, go be helpful, you know, and go up to Maggie's, go up to the Magdalene House and see there is someone there that needs your help. And I didn't really want to believe her. And I thought it sounded a little crazy because I was like, wait.
That's not answering my problem.
I know. I was like, volunteering is not going to get me a job. But guess what happened? This is a true story. I went up there and I started helping other women. And I ran into somebody who was at a meeting up there, because the Magdalene House has classes and meetings on a daily basis. And they said, hey, I need a marketing person part-time. And that's what my degree was in. So I because I was volunteering, because I was in service, I was out in public, and someone flagged me down. So
God is good that way.
Exactly. You know, I do the work, and then God takes care of what I can't take care of in the background.
Right.
You know, I've just been so focused on trying to control, you know, that it's really, really neat.
I want you to tell us about stuff at the house too, what Carla had just asked you, but we had talked when we weren't taping earlier about sponsors, because not everybody knows what a sponsor is. So could you touch, so when you get to the house, if you've never done 12 steps or, you know, you're brand new to this, obviously you get a sponsor, which in my head means mentor. What does that mean for folks who are listening who don't know what that means?
So you're right. When you say the word mentor, that is a definite perfect way to find that. I would add the word spiritual in front of that. Because it's not a self-will or self-help mentor.
Right.
This is a spiritual mentor. And what this person has, we touched on this before a little bit, is that I can see that light, that sparkle in their eyes again, and they've worked these steps, so they have experience, you know what I mean? It's not about opinions, right? So they also know what it's like to be me as far as the inability to stop drinking on my own. So we have that depth and weight in the problem, right? And what's cool is that your sponsor doesn't need to have all of the same details of your life.
Right.
In fact, mine is had been married and had kids and had been through divorce. None of those things I had been through. As you touched on, I was young. So part in my mind, I went, how can she help me? She might not exactly get it. But as Lisa's touched on, the spiritual principles are universal. And this is all about getting me to God. And this is all about freedom. And I can be free no matter what age I am or no matter what circumstances are going on around me. So that sponsor is there to be that objective third party. Because again, I can't fix me with me, right? right, and I've got God on my side, but I just am a little bit, the lines are a little blurry as to how I can get connected. Mm-hmm. And so the sponsor has walked through the same walk. They have been in your shoes, and I use this term a lot, but they are now on the other side,
right,
you know, in quotes, meaning they know how to live this life of freedom and recovery, and you know, we referred to it as permanent sobriety. You know, mm-hmm. I thought relapse was part of it. And mm-hmm. and you know, it happens, and it definitely happened to me, but it doesn't have to be a lifelong sentence,
right?
If you know what I mean,
mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. That's fabulous. So Carla had asked a second ago, you know, tell us a little bit more about, as the communications manager, all the things that are going on over there, and that you had mentioned when we weren't recording a second ago when we were off that there's an event coming up, and I want to hear a little bit about the classes that you guys are offering, and then you said women that aren't necessarily in the program right then but still can come up. Not only to volunteer, but are they taking classes?
Or absolutely.
Okay, so I want to hear a little more about that.
Well, we have classes and meetings and workshops every week.
Wow.
And so it is open to every woman who's in recovery
mm-hmm.
all
Period.
Over North Texas.
Okay.
Okay. Absolutely.
Wow.
And so I think that's
in
why
recovery
we have
of anything?
Recovery of anything.
Right.
Okay.
We are all of our meetings are absolutely open.
Okay.
You may not even know if you're an alcoholic or think you're an alcoholic. We have women who are drug addicts. We have women in any kind of spiritual recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we are alcoholism only,
mm-hmm.
but our meetings are all open.
Mm-hmm.
And we have women who come to our meetings who are not alcoholic. Their daughters are, or their
right.
sons are, or their husband is. And they're just coming to learn more about recovery and what that looks like. So we have all the different kinds of women coming to our classes. Now, and meetings are they're for women only.
Okay.
I will say that. We have a couple of meetings at night where men come, but in general, we're a women-only facility.
Mm-hmm.
It creates a safe environment.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of trauma that usually comes with alcoholism, and these women need to feel like they are in a safe and unvulnerable environment.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we can offer, and that's really unique.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I was going to talk about, too, which Lauren really touched on that with, is that our faith without works is dead.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the most important things that we talk about, that you absolutely cannot grow your faith unless you give it away. And that really is the most important thing, not just for, like Lauren was saying, for the alcoholic, but also for the family. And so we really work very hard to get the family members, the alums, the people who have come in contact with the agency once. We want comprehensive programming for the rest of their lives. At anywhere, wherever you are in your sobriety, in your journey, your family, you can always find a place at the Magdalene House
nice.
To stay in for the rest of your life.
Right.
Because that's what's going to sustain long-term recovery.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not, you don't get to an end point and go, oh, I'm sober, now is the end. This is something that continues to grow for the rest of your life. It
mm-hmm.
has to be constant and continuous. And we offer that. And there's no other, when I went through my program, they literally gave me this little relapse prevention kit and they said, good luck.
Oh, wow.
I had no idea what to do next.
I mean,
and that I'm so grateful
seems
to my
so
sponsor.
Ridiculous.
It is.
I mean, it just seems ridiculous to just say, here you go, pat you on the back, good
and
luck.
That's exactly, because they don't know what to do. A
right.
lot of these places are run by women and who mean well, but they're not in recovery themselves.
Right.
Therapists,
right.
and they don't know,
right.
they just think, you know what, you're good now. And I'm such an infant when I first get sober, because it's not about getting sober.
Mm-hmm.
It's really about growing in God. And as you know, I'm growing every single
Same
day.
Same here.
Right.
And
every day.
Every step I take backwards is an opportunity to get closer to God. And we learn that. We don't get afraid of failure. We don't get scared of relapse
mm-hmm.
because there's nothing that can trigger me into drinking again as long as my faith,
right.
as long as I'm walking the path
mm-hmm.
that is clearly outlined in the scripture and in the book.
Yeah.
So I'm curious about the classes. Can you give
yes.
us a little taste of what some of the themes of the classes are?
Absolutely. So what we do is we take apart the steps. Most of the classes are around steps, like
okay.
step one, step two, step three.
Mm-hmm.
So we will focus on the topics of those particular steps,
okay.
like faith or hope or the problem, which is
Lack of power.
Right. Step one, got no control.
Are you making a decision
right.
to go through with the rest of the work so that you can start on your journey? So we will take apart parts of the steps
okay.
and focus on those classes. Now, the one cool thing, which is we have chairwomen for each one of the classes mm-hmm. and of the meetings. And they can pick their topic, too, based on the women who are in the room.
Oh.
So we may have 10 people, and a woman walks in, and she's a newcomer.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to do a step one meeting, and we're going to focus on hope and giving this woman a part of the problem so that everybody can help her.
Oh, so you can differentiate for the person that's walking in and be able to
Wonderful.
Make a
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I love that.
And we want to be open to changing that.
Mm-hmm.
A woman might come in where her daughter is completely suffering from alcoholism and she is in despair and doesn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So we will change it. We will change it to hope.
Mm-hmm.
We will change it to what taking her completely out of the picture, it's not – what are you going to do?
Right.
You're at a crossroads.
Mm-hmm.
How is this going to grow your faith?
Right.
She doesn't have to be a part.
Because you can't control that situation
Mm-mm.
anyway.
No.
But how are you going to walk
No.
it?
No. These mm-hmm. are things that they don't normally hear.
Right.
They're focused on, okay, well, what are we going to do to help her?
Mm-hmm.
No. What we do is like, no, this is about you.
Yes.
This is your personal walk.
I know. And that just, I mean, I think about that in my own life, but I think about women that must be going through that and just thinking, whoa, wait a minute here. This is not why I walked into this house today.
Exactly.
You've got to figure out how to help my child. I don't need
exactly.
any help. And I'm wondering if you get a lot of pushback.
Mm-hmm. We absolutely
okay.
do. So that's why.
Sometimes.
We do. Because, well, no. I mean, my husband said the same thing. It's not my problem. It's hers.
Mm.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He tells a different story today. Poor Dave.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we take them all the way back to step one,
right.
and we encourage them to go through them steps themselves.
Right.
Okay.
So that's what we do. We don't try to help them and go through. We say, no. What we're going to have is you're going to have you read this book. We're going to have you start with step one, two, three. They go in order, and they go through the steps just like we do.
How mm-hmm. powerful.
Just like what we were talking mm-hmm. about earlier. I've taken women through the steps. I think I touched on this earlier, that are not alcoholic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they're having issues of powerlessness. Mm-hmm. They're having spiritual crevices and cracks in their life,
mm-hmm.
and they need a restart, just mm-hmm. like we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And so the spiritual awakening is open for anyone
mm-hmm.
who wants to get closer to Christ. And it's really amazing to see the change because you think, oh, I've got a great relationship. I need help in my marriage. Then you take them through the work and like, oh, really?
Oh,
it was
yeah.
about me. It wasn't about the marriage. Yes.
Well,
you start to see your own defects.
Right.
Yes.
And then once you do that, you become a better partner.
Absolutely.
You become a better team.
Yes.
And it's really amazing to watch the change.
So this is like spiritual practice.
Yes.
Which every single person mm-hmm. on the entire planet
yes.
needs
Amen.
Constant
Amen.
Spiritual
yes.
practice
yes.
because we
yes.
can't keep ourselves whole.
No.
Like we can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just all need this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Every day is a day I get on my knees. First
yes.
thing I do.
Mm-hmm.
This is a new day.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What happened yesterday is not important anymore. Today is a new day.
Mm-hmm.
Today is a day that I need to be made whole. And today is a day that I'm going to try to do it on my own.
Mm-hmm.
So I get up in the morning and I ask God to direct my
mm-hmm.
attention,
mm-hmm.
that I can be focused on Him throughout the day, because I have no more power than I did 11 years ago.
Right.
I don't have any power over
right.
alcoholism or drinking,
right.
but I do have, I can make the decision how I'm going to grow today.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to get on my knees, if I'm going to chase that journey
mm-hmm.
With God.
Mm-hmm.
And I do it by helping other people.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
very simple.
Yeah. That's
and
really
yet
good.
It's not.
No.
And what's neat is, like you said, I mean, we have this community of both
mm-hmm.
alcoholic women and their families. And we always say this, you know, everybody knows an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And we get to be on this journey together. And I'll tell you, you know, Maggie's was the first place that I actually saw or thought of this whole thing as a good thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that was just extremely eye-opening. And it's truth for me today. So...
Oh, I have. There's a pastor at my church who we all know and love, and I was talking to him, and he said, well, I was talking to this group of family members, and he pointed. He said, "Lisa, he goes, you need to quit saying that alcoholism is a good thing." And I said, "I love you to death, but I'm not ever going to say
right.
that because
right.
alcoholism is the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Mm-hmm. Right?
It gave
mm-hmm.
me my faith. It
right.
gave me a purpose in my life.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I'm hoping that by making that statement, family members will be attracted to that.
Yes.
Right.
Everybody
yes.
is. Oh, it's so devastating." I want to be the person that's saying, no, this is actually, it's an amazing thing.
Mm-hmm.
And have them ask me why I'm saying that.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right.
And then we can open the door.
But what would happen if we all lived like that? You know what I'm saying? What would happen if we all said, actually, from day to day, I struggle with such and such, and these are the spiritual practices mm-hmm. that help, that are helping me, because we cannot say helped me, are helping me be free every single day. Ask me about that, and took the shame off of, you know, every single person off of our lives.
Then Instagram and Facebook wouldn't be exciting anymore, because we're always perfect on the all of that.
Well, and I'll tell you, one thing that I've learned over the last 5 or so years is that we're really so much more alike than we think. And you know, when we can really break down those walls that, you know, that are just focused on externals, we can really get down to what it's like to be, you know, on the inside.
Yeah.
I have to jump in about our event because I'm super excited about it. We have Elizabeth Vargas from ABC 2020.
Okay, I did see that on Facebook. Right. I remember seeing that. Yes,
and she is an alcoholic, and she's proud of it. She's just like Lisa and I.
Yes.
And we are thrilled to have her coming in from New York.
It's gonna be huge.
And it's October 11th. It's at the Fashion Industry Gallery.
Okay.
We have sponsorship opportunities, underwriting, and really this is just a celebration of life.
Yes.
And she is going to give her testimony. And talk about how what it's like now to be, quote unquote, on the other side.
Yes.
She sets such a beautiful example of women's empowerment and just how much we can be so helpful to each other and live such a life of purpose. So we're super, super excited and hope to see anyone who wants to join us there.
All right. All right. Well, can you give your website so people can get in touch with you?
Absolutely. So it's www.magdalenhouse.org. And that is M-A-G-D-A-L-E-N house.org. And you can find all sorts of information about all three of our programs. You can learn about how to volunteer. You can learn about what it's like to be a family member and our upcoming events and all the latest, greatest news. So, and there's some really good blogs on there, too, that our staff members write that are most popular right now. So,
wonderful. Well, thank you all so much for joining our conversation. This has been eye-opening. I mean, we've learned
a lot. Yes.
And I know our listeners have, and
thank you so much,
I encourage everyone to reach out to you. And thank you again for being so open and honest with us.
Thank you for inviting us. What a privilege.
Thank you, Vicki. Thank you, Carla.
Thank you. Well, everyone, Every Heart, Every Woman radio show is a program of Love Ministries. You can find more information about Love Ministries on their website, loveministriesbuilds.com. As always, connect with Vicki and I on our social media at EHEW Radio. We have some events coming up, Flames of Passion on August 11th. We're doing a service project together, so get in contact with us about that. And we also have a show coming up, the Music Stand Review. It's on August 12th at 4 p.m. And everyone, we want you to have a wonderful week. We'll see you back next week.